back into the fight. Tooth, claw, and nail. And the old blood, it starts to boiling. And I can feel the old animal stirring inside me. And I say to myself,
oh, oh, easy there, big fella. Down, Pluto. Down, boy. Oh, oh.
Oh, I get it. Yeah, everybody except me can do, like, their Disney Marvel mashup joke, huh? No? That's not funny to you anymore, huh? I don't care. I do if I want to. Because I want to do Mickey Mouse. I didn't want to do Wolverine. You can see I wasn't even committed to the Wolverine there. I was more committed to Mickey Mouse than I was to Wolverine. And I always will be. Okay? M-I-C-K-E-Y M-O-U-S-E is what I'm talking about. No one runs around singing W-O-L-V-E-R I-N-E-C. He runs out of letters even. He runs out of letters if you try to sing the song. He doesn't even have like a Donald Duck to try and do anything to him. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. I just wanted to do a Mickey Mouse. Is that so wrong?
Woohoo! Hi everybody! M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E.
This is the podcast. And now, being broadcast from a remote, undisclosed location. That's probably somewhere in Savannah, Georgia. It's the Planet Houston Podcast! And now, your intrepid host,
Tomboy! Hoo! Hoo!
Thomas Houston!
Yeah, I got issues. What about it? Tell me that was not a perfect Mickey Mouse, and I will just quit the program. I will quit it right now. I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. That was flawless. It was wonderful, and I enjoyed doing it. I will probably do it again now, just to spite you, if you say you hate it. Welcome. Welcome once again to Planet Houston Podcast. It is, in fact, episode 12. Holy crap, it's episode 12. If George Lucas was actually not lying about making trilogies, you could be checking it out right now. It'd be episode 12 of the Star Wars saga. He'd probably have, like, killed Chewbacca and brought him back as a robot or something at this point. Or some type of CGI character, I don't know. Anywho, got a pretty good show, I think, lined up for you this week. Comics World is coming up a little bit later. It is, once again, supersized, as I like to put it, which just basically means I don't know when to shut up. Yeah, what else is new? That's coming for you much later. Before that, odds and ends, where I have a little bit of a discussion about what I was talking about during the open. A little more reasonable discussion, if you can believe it. And of course, my reality, I'm going to talk about a new show that I checked out this past week, which I think was kind of interesting. Not necessarily stellar, but it's got to be better than More to Love, right? Yeah, I can't bring myself to watch that. I still can't do it. And of course, coming up much, much later in the program, once again, is the Facebook Friend of the Week, which I'm excited about. I am not clearing the cash. That makes it sound like the person that I'm choosing is a winner of second rate, which is not true at all. But I am rewarding people who did things I asked of them. I'll put it like that. And anybody who thinks they fit that category will probably want to check out who the winner is to see if that's them. And if not, then hopefully I'll get back to you. And whatever you did was important enough that I think it was important too. Which sounds terrible, but I don't care. Anyway, time for us to move on from here, thank goodness, and get into the show, as it were, proper. Time once again for my reality, and instead of going into any of the old shows that I'm watching, let me talk to you about a new show that someone kind of turned me on to. I'd seen it in the listings, but I hadn't actually run into the show itself yet, but they showed it to me, and it turns out it's actually kind of entertaining. It comes on right after Wipeout on ABC on Wednesdays. The name of the show is Crash Course, which It's a pretty accurate description now that I think about it. But the premise is simple enough. What they do is they take five teams of two, and of course, kind of like Amazing Race, each of the teams has their own little quirks and whatnot, or connections. You know, their siblings, and they're, a married couple, and then there's like the two roommates and the people who work together. But what they do isn't really that important. The premise of the show is that they put them behind the wheels of these cars, which I'm sure are like super duper reinforced, and they send them through all these wacky courses. Like, for example, they were playing like car shuffleboard, I guess would be the right way to put it, which was more entertaining when they basically took the power brakes out of the vehicle. In fact, they didn't have any electrical or drive system at all, so it was kind of like no power brakes, no power steering, but here you go, we're going to throw you at this greased floor, and good luck stopping in the bullseye. So that was entertaining, and then they had them attempting to drive up onto the ramp of a moving semi-truck along this course, which was just as insane as it sounded. So they ask him to do all these weird, crazy things and ride on these weird and crazy courses. And the worst team or whatever each given course gets eliminated until finally the final two go and race this ginormous obstacle course that borders on ridiculous. And of course, you know, the winner gets, I guess, $50,000 or whatever the amount is. But it is kind of interesting just because I'm not sure who would actually sign up for this. I mean, who in their right mind signs up for something like this? There's, you know, I guess they make, I know there's a waiver involved, but I can't imagine just looking and going, okay, I could be crushed in this vehicle. But, you know, they make sure the vehicles are ridiculously safe, like I said. And anybody that peeled out or anything in the last episode seemed to walk away from it relatively okay. So, no harm, no foul, as they say. The show is hosted by two individuals. One is Orlando Jones. You may remember him, if you can go back that far, as the 7-Up guy from way back when. Or if you go a little bit further ahead than that, you might remember him as that black guy on Mad TV before Aries Spears showed up. No, not Phil Lamar, the other guy. You know, the one who left to try and find better prospects and discovered there weren't any. Ended up in that movie Evolution with David Duchovny, which I rag him for, but actually it's not that bad of a film. If you get a chance to check it out on a lazy, like, Saturday or Sunday afternoon, Evolution's not a bad film. I mean, it's not great, but anyway, I digress. Orlando is a bit of a strange comic mind, so he's kind of hit or miss with his commentary. Not quite as glorious a commentary team as, say, Wipeout, which just has a golden formula for a 1-2 hit there. And his co-host on the show is Dan Cortese. Cortese? Really? Didn't he just used to be Cortez? Or Cortese or something? There didn't used to be an accent there. Is that what happens as you get older? Your accent comes back into your name? I mean, am I going to end up being Thomas Houstone or something? I mean, really. You know, your main highlights of your career are that you're the only celebrity to have ever hit a home run during a Rocky Jock softball game. And you were in Veronica's closet. I mean, that's kind of it for you. Mind you, one of those feats actually impresses me, but my point, I guess, is that I don't get it. But they don't really do, like I said, as great a job as, say, the Wipeout commentators do. Of course, the Wipeout commentators have a lot more material to work with as far as goofy things that go on. And really, the interactions between the teammates is kind of the only real joke value you get for the show. So, not as glorious as some of the other goofball shows that are on. But, you know, it's better than Superstars, which isn't saying much. And I've seen worse on TV, I guess, is my point. And it wasn't an idle enough distraction for the 40-some-odd minutes that I was watching it. I was actually watching it online. But I imagine it's just as cool on a TV screen. So if you get a chance, and you're watching Wipeout anyway, then check out Crash Course on ABC. I believe it's at 9 or it's probably going to be 10 or something now. Dancing with the Stars is going to be back on soon, which I'm not watching, but that's a whole other story. Maybe I'll rant about that next week or something. Time once again for Comics World, and right off the bat, there's a handful of books that I'm not going to talk about in any detail. And not because they're bad books, just because I don't have time, and I just don't feel like it. So there. So Flash Rebirth 4? No, I'm not going to talk about it. You know, blah, blah, Speed Force. That's the gist of it. Blah, blah, Speed Force. And then Last Days Animal Man, number 4 of 6. Blah, blah, Starfire Gets Hurt. I don't care about that either. At least Buddy snapped out of that little midlife thing he was going through, which is good. Thank goodness, because it was making me nervous. And then Justice Society of America number 30. Yeah, it's blah blah, Dr. Fate shows up. But it's not like the real Dr. Fate, it's like the new Dr. Fate or whatever. I don't even know who's Dr. Fate right now. Isn't that depressing? It's like some new guy or something. I don't even think they said who he was. That's the worst part of it all. But yeah, I don't feel like talking about any of those books in depth, so to heck with them. We'll move on to the reviews improper. First book this week is going to be, maybe I should make that a new segment. Just call it blah blah. Well, I don't feel like talking about things. Blah blah, stuff happened. Anyways, first book this week is going to be Teen Titans, number 74. It is the end of this infamous Doom and Gloom arc. I know it's not called Doom and Gloom, but doesn't that sound like a better name for it than what it actually was? I mean, seriously. It should be called Doom and Gloom. And, of course, they've been talking about how a Titan's going to die. And this book, of course, makes absolutely no apologies about it. They tell you exactly who it is. And to anyone who's been reading the book, it's exactly who you thought it was going to be. So, no surprises there. The only real surprise is that maybe I did enjoy the book. It kind of had its hits and misses. But at least it seems to be setting up, once again, the infamous notion that the Teen Titans need to kind of tighten up as a team, for lack of a better pun. That was unintentional. But that they should maybe tighten up as a team, become a more cohesive unit, so that this type of thing doesn't happen anymore. Which would have been great maybe about 2 years ago, when the team should have tightened up then. I gotta start saying that over and over again now. This is gonna get aggravating. But I like the book. I still like it. I like a good handful of the characters that are there. And, you know, heaven forbid, I actually don't mind Wonder Girl so much anymore. If she's gonna actually act like she's got a pair. And I mean, no, not that pair. But, anyways. I thought it was a pretty good book. Looking forward to whatever the next arc is gonna be. Because, just not sure where it's gonna go. So, that should be interesting enough. And I guess I'm gonna hang on to it for another couple of months. Next book on the agenda is, Dark Reign. Ms. Marvel, number 44, and for this book at...
Dark Reign!
Oh, it's a love book. Oh, yeah, mwahahaha. Okay, jeez. Anyway, this continues the War of the Marvels. I'm going to get tired of that one day. Maybe when this arc ends, I'll be done with it, but I just keep throwing it in there like I'm mad, but I really still love it. But this continues the War of the Marvels arc in Ms. Marvel. And of course, in this particular issue, you have Catherine Donovan, who bears a striking resemblance to one Carol Danvers, a.k.a. Ms. Marvel, traveling to New York to try and uncover the mystery of just what's going on with there already being two Ms. Marvels running around, one of which, of course, bearing a striking resemblance to her, and the other one being Moonstone, who I almost kind of feel sorry for in this story, because it seems like maybe she really kind of does want to do the right thing and be a good guy, more or less, but she knows that all goes to crap if the real Ms. Marvel shows back up, so she's kind of got a conflict of interest. Of course, they make it somewhat clear through the course of storytelling that she's not necessarily quite on board the good guy train, so it's hard to root for her. But in this issue, at least, they do establish that there is a connection between the Carol Danvers Ms. Marvel that's running around and this Catherine Donovan person. In fact, if something isn't done very soon, something very tragic is going to happen to one or both of them. But I like this book. It is interesting to kind of see, like I said before, some of the characters I don't really follow because I don't follow their main titles anymore. The Dark Avengers, I haven't bought like issue one of, but at least they seem like an okay enough team in this book. So I'm not gonna say I'm gonna pick that title up because well, you know, I'm really not spending much money on anything new these days anyway, but it is interesting to see them kind of as a group and to see they're not necessarily all bad, even though most of them are kind of jerks. And this book I think it's been a pretty good title. If you don't normally read Ms. Marvel, and you maybe read, like, you know, New Avengers or whatever, you may want to check this arc out. I think it's kind of entertaining, and it gives you a little better insight into Moonstone. And, well, you know, into Carol, too, if they ever explain what's going on with her. But, you know, it's not going anywhere off my pull list. Very glad I hung on to this book, come to think of it. Moving on, we go to Batman and Robin number 3. Part of the Batman Reborn saga, which is all exciting. This book, I wasn't really sure about after the last issue. I did not enjoy it as much as I could have. But I tell you what, this was actually a very good issue for me. We had Robin, of course, Damian, or as I dubbed him earlier this week, Kid Vegeta. Seriously, think about it. Kid Vegeta, it makes sense. Even the hairstyle drawing sometimes is a little Vegeta-ish, if you're paying attention. So, I think that's a very good nickname for him. I'm probably not the first one to pin it, but, you know, he's cocky, and he kind of deserves to be in some respects, but every now and then he gets his butt handed to him. It makes perfect sense to me. But, this issue was a little more together, I think, than the last issue. The last issue kind of had some action scenes thrown into the center of it with almost no dialogue, and it seemed kind of almost to get lost in the shuffle. I think it's kind of, the story kind of got lost in these action panels that I didn't particularly like the action panels either. I'm not really in love with the action sequences here, but at least within the context of the story, it kind of makes a little more sense to me. So I did enjoy that. One thing I will say is that it was good to get a lot of outer character interaction. There's a moment where Commissioner Gordon clearly seems to kind of have his doubts about the group. You know, the new team of Batman and Robin, and I'm not certain 100% if he... I'm sure he's figured out maybe it's not the same person as Batman. So he's kind of having his doubts about, you know, Batman and what's obviously a new Robin coming in and helping the city. But they seem to eventually kind of get won over. So in that respect, I did like the issue. Very good kind of a 3-issue mini arc, if you will, to set up the new team of Batman and Robin and their own little world of Gotham. And Dr. Pig is in fact a sick, twisted individual, and I don't actually ever want to figure out who he is. If I'm supposed to know who he is, I don't want to know. The guy's creepy as crap. And a little disturbing. Well, not even a little. A little is an understatement. The guy's just creep city, is what it is. And if he takes, like, a nice 2 or 3 year break before he ever shows up again, I'll be more than happy with that. I mean, really. And I think maybe Grant Morrison needs to seek help. Which we already knew, but seriously. I could go without a story like this every now and then, as great as it may be, if you seek help for what makes you generate stuff like that out of your head. Really. But I think I'm going to add Batman and Robin to my pull list, because it wasn't on there. And based on the strength of this issue, I may just go ahead and make it a permanent pull. So, kudos on that turn. But our final book of the week, and I'm going to tell you, this was my book of the week. It's Wonder Woman number 35. And I don't care what anybody says, this is a great book. If you're not a fan of Gail Simone's, well, first of all, there's something wrong with you. But if you're on Twitter and you're not following Gail Simone on Twitter, you're missing so many glorious things. She probably pretty much single-handedly saved my week with some of the insanity that she was posting on Twitter. But this is the second part of the Birds of Paradise arc, which was Wonder Woman and Black Canary going undercover
in Japan of all places. Tons of exciting fun. And to attempt to recover, I'm just thinking about this something that Gail said on Twitter is the problem. She said she got bought by Microsoft. After Disney acquired Marvel, she said she was purchased by Microsoft, which I thought was hilarious. I mean, you just had to have seen some of the comments that were there. If you don't follow her on Twitter, if you're a fan of comics and you're on Twitter, please follow Gail Simone on Twitter. That's all I'm going to say. There's lots of different writers and stuff on there, but I may not even review the book now. I don't even know what the purpose of it was. But I love Gail Simone, and she's hilarious on Twitter. And this is actually a pretty good book. I should be telling you about what happens in it, but you know, it's everything that's right about Wonder Woman is what's great about Gail Simone writing the title. There's action, there's fighting, there's, some people would say, a little too much conversation, especially mid-battle, but, you know, to me, part of what makes Wonder Woman such a unique character, in some respects, is that she's not all about just brawling it out. You know, yeah, she can fight, yeah, she can throw a punch, yeah, she knows all this grapple and stuff, and she's strong as all and crap, and but when push comes to shove, there's still this sort of nobility about her. So even when she's in the middle of some vicious battle with someone, she's trying to find a diplomatic solution, we'll call it that. But it doesn't mean she's not above, you know, punching someone in the face. But it was just a really great balance between all of that through most of the issue. And it leaves a few things unspoken. And then, of course, the ending just kind of grabs you out of left field, which, if you've been following the series for a while, would be kind of a shocker. Not that whatever is happening, but I guess maybe that it's being initiated the way that it is. But if you don't read Wonder Woman, then I guess I can't convince you to read Wonder Woman, because I know there's a lot of people who don't like the book for whatever reason. But if you are at all a fan of the character and you have not been reading it, oh my gosh, for crying out loud, please start picking up Wonder Woman and supporting it, because I don't think Gail needs your help or anything, but, you know, she kind of deserves it. I think she's put her time in a lot of different places, and she's putting out quality work. You might as well check it out. It's my book of the week, for crying out loud. For no other reason, you go check it out there. And then find the last issue, and you can read both of those together, and it'll be great for you. But that's going to do it for Comics World for this week. Make sure to check out any comic books you can at your local comic book store or at fine book retailers near you or some sort of spiel like that. I don't really care. Time once again for the Facebook Friend of the Week. And have I covered everyone that actually did what I asked him to a while back and did the Eliminator tour? I don't think I did. So, instead of picking a new friend, why not just make sure I cover the bases with everyone that actually bothered to fill that out? Because, you know, I ask you to do something and you don't do it. And why should I like you? I know that sounds horrible. I shouldn't say that. But that's how I feel sometimes. It's like, you know what? I ask you to do one thing. It wasn't even that hard. You could have just lied through most of it. And it would have been fine. Everyone's always asking me all this crap. And no one ever cuts me a break. So fine. I'm going to cover one of the people that actually bothered to fill that out, and a few other things while we're at it. As Friend of the Week, let's start the fanfare. Jeez, freaking Louise. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. Don't feel bad. This person deserves this anyway, so I'm not going to feel bad about it. Okay, so that's how I feel about this. And this week's Facebook Friend of the Week is going to be Ivan G. Shreve. I hope I'm pronouncing that last name right. I didn't ask him. I should have asked him. I talked to him a little earlier online. But I hate to ask people how they pronounce their names, because I know they'll know what's up. It's like, how do you pronounce your name? And they'll be like, oh, he's got me in the crosshairs, if you will, for the Friend of the Week. You can't see me do the crosshairs from your speaker, but this is how I'm doing. Anyway, Ivan is the winner this week. He is a loyal friend and follower of maybe not Planet Houston podcast necessarily, but he is one of the followers of the House Rules website that I hold, my blog page, which I've neglected a little, as has he neglected his blog. And he's also what I consider a good online friend and or associate.
Ivan has his own blog page, actually, that is called Thrilling Days of Yesteryear. And if you are a Blogspot fan, you can find it under the title Thrilling Days of Yesteryear.blogspot.com because he's brilliant and actually named his webpage something that resembles the title of his blog, unlike me, who is an idiot. But Ivan is a bit of an old-school fan, if you will, more so than me, if you can imagine. But a lot of his blog is dedicated to older television and movies, and the actors and writers and such that were parts of those things, which means that we don't always cross paths, I guess, culturally speaking. There's a few things that he'll cover that I will actually follow, and there's a few things that I cover that that he actually follows. But since I'm kind of more based in the present for both my page and this broadcast, and he's kind of more based in the past, I say past like it's old, 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 but things maybe about 20 or more years older is kind of his genre, if you will. We don't usually run into each other, like I said, directly. Of course, his page is a much better design page than mine. He has several recurring segments and comic strips that he has posted from various locations that go up, whether he's there or not, which I still haven't figured out how he does that. I should probably do that one day, sit down and ask him. But if you haven't visited Thrilling Days of Yesteryear, which is Ivan's page, I would give it a look-see, because one thing I always find surprising is that even if I'm not necessarily a fan of whatever it is he's talking about, he usually explains whatever it is very well. And he's always got an opinion or two out there that I find entertaining. He's not quite, I think, as insane as I am, which is about the best compliment I can pay to someone, that they're not as insane as me. At least not in print form, anyway. I get the notion that he's a little bit zanier than I think he is sometimes. He kind of surprises me, but he's got a very entertaining webpage. It's very well designed. I mean, I won't say I'm jealous, but it is a very well put together page. And if you've got a couple of seconds, definitely stop by and just take a look. I'm sure there's something there you'll like. Not a lot to say about me and Ivan personally. We are friends mainly because of our main mutual friend, the late Sam Johnson. And, of course, one of the people that I probably would not know were it not for Sam, which is another thing I can owe him for. But I'm glad that I met the man. He's very, like I said, a very seemingly good-hearted person. Of course, he could be evil. I think secretly he's evil, is what it is. And like I said, make sure you check out Thrilling Days of Yesteryear. And congratulations to Ivan. You are my Facebook friend of the week. You're my friend on the internet. You are not my friend from the past. You're actually my friend in the present, I guess. And hopefully you'll be my friend in the future. We'll see. Like I said, if you turn out to be evil, I may have to, like, you know, I don't know, stop you or something. Or join your ranks. I'm not sure exactly which way I'm going to go with that, but we'll see. That's going to do it for the Facebook friend of the week. I think next week I'm going to actually try to find someone that did something extraordinary to be friend of the week, but I'm not certain yet. We'll see. I've got a feeling it's going to be one of those weeks, and I'm not going to tell you why, but I've got a feeling that that's going to happen. And that will do it for Senior Podcast for this week. That's going to be the end for me. Until sometime next week, or late this week, I swear I keep trying to make this a little bit better than a Tuesday performance, but I can't seem to get over that. I am really excited to announce, however, that this entire production was done completely from my laptop this week, so if it still works okay, if you're not hearing, like, bizarre static for most of the broadcast or something, then that means that I'm capable of doing this from my laptop, which I guess means I can take the show on the road if I so felt like it. I'm not sure where I would go, but I could take the show on the road if I want to, which is always encouraging. At any rate, we're going to try this again next week, I do believe, presumably before Tuesday, so it's not all a rush job, as it seems to be the past couple of weeks. And I know I've said that for about 4 or 5 weeks in a row right now, and I don't care. I'm going to keep pushing for it to be my goal until I accomplish it otherwise. And, of course, I still have several, not necessarily huge announcements coming up, but a few announcements still left to make in the coming weeks, and hopefully I can get on board and get all that finalized, too. So, until next time, H-O-U, you know it, baby! S-T-O, oh, no, I didn't! N-C-A-S-T. No, I didn't sing out the whole thing. Gosh, you know how long it would take to spell out Planet Houston Podcast in a song? I mean, I don't have like 3.5 hours for that song. Not to mention, it's kind of arrogant. I mean, what am I, Robert Loggia? That's Family Guy reference. Later.